Welcome everyone to another episode of 90 Day React, Bubbles and Banter, episode 14 of season 11 of 90 Day Fiancé. So, what do we think this time?
Yeah, I like when you give your themes.
Yeah, I mean the theme, I mean to me I was thinking, well, how many wedding dresses have we seen so far? I want to think about the happy stuff.
Okay.
Well, we saw Stevie's wedding dress, and then this episode we saw Joan,
yeah,
with her wedding dress, and we saw Mina with her wedding dress.
Yeah, I would love to start with the whole Joan and Lucille thing, because that pissed me off.
Which part of it?
I have been rooting for Joan, and I'm like, justice for Joan, justice for Joan.
Uh-huh.
And, like, there have been a few times where Joan has, like, been kind of rude.
Right.
To Lucille. And I kind of, like, brushed it off. Like, maybe it's a language barrier thing. I don't know. Like, when she told Lucille, she's like, you need to leave the house more. It's like, don't say that. Like,
I think that's the way she is. It's just like, that's her.
Well, this episode, I realized, oh, Joan's, like, kind of a bitch.
Yeah, it was, because like, rude.
It was so rude. And you cannot chalk that up, in my opinion, to a language barrier. She knew exactly what she's fluent in English. There's no language barrier, number one. Number two, you can't even say that's a cultural thing, because pretty much everywhere outside of America, it's like an overpouring amount of respect and regard for elders, especially parents.
Right.
So that's not a cultural thing. No way.
Yeah.
You know, to treat Lucille like an Uber.
Exactly.
And pretty much say, you can take me to the shop, but you're not going to come in.
Right.
Excuse me? She said, oh, I want to have that moment with my family. Why can't Lucille, like, what is Lucille's being there take away from that moment? Do you know what I mean? Like, you can have both. And also, if that's the case, tell her you're going to go on your own. Don't make her drive you.
I know. For people that didn't see the episode, didn't watch the episode.
Oh, yeah. Run us through.
In the morning, Greg's first day at work. He doesn't know how to behave at work. That's what he says. And we find out that he had a job and before COVID. And once everything stopped, you know, everybody stayed at home. He literally just didn't work anymore. So he's not worked really since COVID. And then Joan asked Lucille, can you take me to get my, wedding dress fitted? And Lucille says, sure. And they drive over. As they're driving to the dress shop, actually Joan says that she's going to FaceTime her family. And then, I don't know if Lucille said it first or she said it first. Lucille offered to, she asked her, do you want me to come in, to help you out? And Joan says, no, I'm going to have, I'm going to FaceTime my family. I want, to talk to them. And it's like an F you to Lucille. Like,
totally. She was
just,
like, what
just
did she
drive
say?
Me there and don't bother me. Pick me up, I guess.
Oh my God.
In an hour or so.
It's upsetting because Lucille even asked as a question. She wasn't like, may I come in? She said, like, do you need my help? That was like her coded way of saying,
exactly,
I want to be a part of this experience with you, but I don't want to overstep.
Right.
And I want to be helpful to you as well. So, do you need my help? Was, may I be a part of this experience? And Joan shut her down immediately. It was so rude.
Not only that, it's just like, this lady is paying for your wedding, period, no matter what.
You're living in her damn home. Exactly. She's funding your whole life here. You don't feel
any
sense
of... paying for all the
of...
showers you're taking.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that.
She's paying showers. The water bill. That's not fair.
There was nothing wrong with having Lucille there. She could have said, just come in. You're trying to build a relationship. As much as you want to get away from this lady and have your own place, you still want to build a relationship with your mother-in-law. So this would have been the first step, but she talks, yeah. she acted like, no, I want to be like private with my own family. But there are two people, they're working in the store. They're going to be there. You got a whole camera crew that's going to be there. So you have at least 5 and 6 other people surrounding you. So you're not going to be private. You're not going to have the privacy with your family when you're FaceTiming. It was ridiculous.
Absolutely. And the way that it came across was, I want to talk shit about you to my family. Like, it came across as like that, not like,
I know,
anything else. Like, I know that's not what she ended up doing, I don't think, but like,
right.
Yeah, that's how it seems. I don't know.
She didn't deserve
it. I really did. And then Lucille goes, there's always payback.
I know, right? she laughed.
So I'm like, what is she going to do now?
Yeah, I think she just said that, you know. It's her son. What is she going to do, you know?
Not coddle him like she's been doing for 30 plus years?
Yeah, it's too late now. It's been 35 years.
I don't know, maybe treat him like an adult?
Right.
Anyway.
Well, let's see how it works out with him at working the first day. But the first couple we saw were Shekinah and Sarper. Well, we had 28 days to wed. To the wedding, and Shekinah and they show Shekinah and Sarper, they're talking to each other, and Shekinah kind of says that. She says, I want you to talk things over with Dan because you made a remark about him at your comedy show. And Sarper has no choice but to agree just to keep her happy. Because she says that, you know, my friends are kind of like family to me. So the next scene with them is that Sarper goes, you know, takes an Uber and goes and see Dan. And this place that Dan has, it must be the ugliest, ugliest mansion I've ever seen.
You want to hear some TT, some piping hot chai right now? Is that, I'm pretty sure it's not his space. Right. It's been revealed on the internet to be a rental space, like on Gigster or PeerSpace, which is what I use to find locations to film at.
Oh, yeah.
And it goes for $200 an hour. So you can rent the place to film
but
there.
At least
or something.
Rent a nice place. What was that?
What's funny is like, okay, maybe he owns it and he posted that and he rents it out. I doubt it. I'm pretty sure he just rented it, or the production rented it to be like his play home, but it's hideous.
It was like something went wrong with building this place. It's like,
and they were like, "Fuck it, let's just turn it into a Mario castle."
Yeah, did the contractor leave, or you had a fight with somebody? What happened? He's like, somebody finished
the interior was disgusting, and he was like, No, let me show you around. It's like, what are you showing off?
He wanted to show Sarper around, and Sarper didn't want to have any of that. And he just wanted to talk things over with Dan just to make Shekinah happy. And as just like before, you know, he tried to egg Sarper on a little bit, you know, tease him here and there.
He was like, I don't know, maybe we've done more.
Yeah.
It's like,
you're not the only bad boy here.
Yeah. And Sarper was like, that's the exact attitude that I have a problem with. Like, just fucking stop, bro.
Yeah, if this was this before Sarper, that, you know, he would have smacked him around, like, you know, just easily, like, knocked him down.
I love that Sarper keeps saying, like, you know, this guy doesn't want to resolve it the traditional way, meaning, like, let's just fists, you know?
Yeah.
But,
it would have just taken one slap. Dan would have been on the
one
floor.
One slap, yeah. Not even a punch, yeah.
Exactly.
And
but he has no choice. I mean, he has, you know, Shekinah's friend. Circle of friends, as she says.
Yeah.
And then he says, like, I made out with everybody in our circle of friends. It's like, what are you talking
about?
That's so rude. You know, just say it like that.
There are some people, though, who have friend groups that are kind of, like, incestual. Like, they just kind of, like, everybody at some point has dated one another, and they just, it's weird.
Yeah, I always but just, find just friends say it like that. It's just, it's like, come on.
It's flippant and rude. And
you're on TV, you know, people can hear you. You know, it's like,
yeah, no, he's know. Like showing off in a weird way. The guy's a loser.
Yeah, but they finally, and, they finally, yeah, they made up and shook hands, and Songbird just got the hell out of there.
Yeah. The other couples. Who should we do next? Thruple?
Well, next Stevie and Matthew. We saw Stevie and Matthew. Yeah, there was. This bachelor party turned into just a show and some drinks afterwards. It wasn't, you know, much of a, when you think of a bachelor party, you think of, you know, I don't know, a little bit different, but this was like, just go, let's go see a show. And this case was a burlesque show, which, you know, I tried to, I mean, I know what the meaning of it is, but I looked it up and it just says, you know, according to Google, a variety show typically including striptease. So,
yeah, whose idea was it to go to a burlesque show?
It's our friend. You guys, they're not even thinking. It's just like the same
like
way
so
that.
It's so insensitive.
Like, Jessica didn't think of anything Colombian to do, you know, for the.
Yeah, can we
venue.
Consider. Like, either that, yeah. Or have a separate one. Like, if that's what you want to take your girlfriend out to do for The Bachelorette, do that.
Right.
And then just go take him to go get drinks or something.
Right.
Don't do a joint thing and make him uncomfortable, make his friend uncomfortable. This is huge for him.
Right.
This is like, and he even said, he's like, I've been here for a few weeks, for God's sakes. Exactly. And I'm coming from a country where people get arrested if your headscarf is not on properly.
Right.
Like, to go from that to someone waving,
yeah, like, you know,
nipple tassels
planet.
Around, like,
you don't even have
come
to
on,
do
guys.
That. You don't even have to see burlesque. Just being in America is like, you are in a different planet.
Enough of a culture shock.
People behave differently. People look differently. You know, to speak a different language, of course, and all the other stuff. You know, it's a culture shock to itself. And now you're taking him to this show that,
yeah,
it's like, you know, not too many people go and see a burlesque show.
Yeah. You know? It's, I think this is where I started to be like, Stevie, girl, come on. Like, right. I'm rooting for you, but
I don't think she knew about it. I mean, she knew that it's going to be a show like that, but.
No. Everyone knows what burlesque is. It's literally, it's what you said. It's striptease. They strip right. down to the just. Pretty much nude.
Yeah,
she knew, but it's also like, I know that she said at the beginning, once they sat down, or she was like, if you're uncomfortable, let me know and we'll leave. Mm-hmm. Don't put him in that situation in general, because he doesn't want to, he seems like a little bit passive. He doesn't want to cause a problem. He wants you to have a good time too.
Exactly.
Like, he's not going to be like, and he even said, which is like, I appreciate this so much. He said afterward.
Right.
He said, I made a promise to her dad that I wasn't going to try to indoctrinate her in any way with
right.
the culture that I was raised with. I'm not going to try to impose upon right. her beliefs that I was raised
right.
with,
that pretty
which
much,
is really
yeah.
respectable.
Yeah. I mean, they went after the show was done. I mean, he kind of walked up and walked out of the show, and then they joined later on. When the show was finished and they went for drinks, and when they were sitting down, Matthew kind of apologized to Stevie's friend about the way he walked out when they were at the venue, and the topic of, you know, Stevie painting her friend nude, you know, topless came up, and he got upset and he walked out and he didn't say goodbye to her. And he was just apologizing to her, like, I'm sorry that I left the way I did. I should have said goodbye to you. And, you know, and then this guy, the online friend, Saeed, is like, so that's okay with you? Like, you know, the way.
He goes, what is happening?
Yeah. What's wrong with you, man?
I was dying. I was like, he was so upset. He thought he was like fully.
Yeah.
letting it go, but it's like, Saejun, you're literally Megan in man form. Like, you're just as annoying.
Exactly.
You're like a friend plant from production that's trying to stir the pot.
Exactly. And he's trying to apologize. Something totally unrelated. It's like, no matter what happened, you don't, you know, he just wanted to say that I'm sorry that I walked away and didn't say goodbye to you, regardless of what happened prior. And then all of a sudden, Said says, you saying you're sorry?
What is happening?
Like, who are you? You're not his dad, like, or his brother. Yeah.
And he goes, so you're saying you're okay with that? And Matthew's like, it's resolved for now. Like, chill.
Yeah, I mean, he said, you know, just to make sure that Said understands, he said that he promised Stevie's dad not to impose his mindset that he grew up with back in Iran.
That means a lot.
He didn't want to change her as long as it doesn't affect their relationship, you know? So, I mean...
Yeah,
that's pretty understandable, but to say, I don't know, you know,
whether or not he was acting, it was fantastic. Yeah,
maybe production put it up to put him up to it, and
it was so funny
because it was just weird the way he was behaving during the time that we're, you know, drinking and talking and all of that.
And, also, Said was enjoying the burlesque show.
Yeah, he sat through the whole thing. You know,
Mahdi looked like visibly uncomfortable and got up and left. Every time they showed Said, he was smiling. He was like,
yeah,
really enjoying himself.
I know, he was drinking and smiling and having a good time. And
yeah, so there's that.
Right? And, you know, you give Mahdi probably another year and he'll be okay with it.
Yeah, let him acclimate. Yeah.
It's like, but a lot of stuff. It's a culture shock.
It's too much at once.
Just to give you an example, I came here my senior year in high school and I, you know, you go to classes and this, I didn't, like in Iran, you don't change classes. The students stay in the same class and teachers switch classes. Like here is the reverse. Like teachers stay in the class, like teacher so and so is in room, you know, 244 or whatever.
Right.
And kids go to his class. They switch, you know, different periods, different classes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the opposite. So that's one simple, like tiny example of how things are different. So give him another year and he'll be fine.
It's a lot. I just like, I'm seeing how well he's doing with, like, bisexual nonsense aside,
right.
I see how well he's doing with, like, communicating with her and communicating with her friends and trying to be understanding and also navigating all of his own emotions about, like, I miss my family. I may never be able to go back.
Right.
Like, huge, huge emotions. So I'm like, I just want Stevie and her friends to, like, give a little bit. Like, come on. Like, let's meet him halfway here.
Right.
And the striptease burlesque was like,
it was inconsiderate.
Yeah. It was inconsiderate of him and his adjustment.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, he sounds and he behaves like he's socially well adjusted. You know, maybe that's the way he was brought up. But he acts and behaves like he's much more mature than his age. In a different planet, you know, just because, you know, I consider U.S. a different planet, or the West
pretty
is
much
a different planet. It's like everything is different.
Anyway.
Next. So Mark and Mina, we have 9 days to the wedding, and Mina's sister makes a Alex comes to U.S. for the wedding, which is, I mean, she looked, you know, beautiful and so nice and, you know, so friendly. And
I'm just like fed up with the cultural difference, which you said it before and I didn't believe you. And you were like, they're French.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know French people. Like, I don't know French culture. And now I'm like, this episode, she spoke to her sister when they got in the car. She said, put your seatbelt on. They care about that here.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, so I guess it's a French thing, but like, when it comes to kids, again, for the millionth time, I don't, like, that's bullshit. You have, again, now they, finally got a car seat for their daughter.
Right.
And I told you last week, it's not strapped in properly. It's still not strapped in properly. But so it's useless. Did you see the way
when they were hugging, he pulled Maria from across the table on the table?
Yeah, she's on the table.
He grabbed her by the arm and pulled
unbelievable.
Her.
Unbelievable. There's an iPad in front of her nonstop. And I thought to myself, I've never heard this kid talk.
Right.
And then being so lax about Clayton and some right. friend is watching him, like, I can't deal with it anymore.
Why are they looking
I really can't.
Clayton by himself by with her friend in Paris, so give him a break, man.
Someone save Maria.
It's okay. Maria will be fine, trust me.
You say get whatever you up, like, man. Whatever. No.
It's okay. Maria will be fine.
Anyway, what do you have to say about this woman and her stupid dress? Who cares?
So Alex came and they were happy. Mina was very happy. She said she bought the dress like 2 years ago. We found out that Alex told us that their mom passed away 2 years ago. And that's when she bought the dress. And I'm hoping that her mom had seen the dress before she passed away. And she brought as a gift a charm that had the picture of their mom and dad. And one side said, "Today is the day I say I do, and I'll carry this in the memory of you," which was beautiful. And she had bought her set of, you know, necklace, pearl necklace and earrings. And she fit fine in the dress and, you know, it was perfect. You know, she had not, because before they kind of teased us like, oh, she gained weight, she doesn't fit in the dress, but she fit just fine. And, you know, she looked beautiful. And they drive back to Boston and, I mean, back to New Hampshire. And on the way, Alex says to Mark, you ever thought about, you know, moving to Boston, you know, because it's more like, that's what Mina likes. It's more like, you know, closer to Paris than New Hampshire. And Mark totally shut it down. He said, like, you know, I want to be close to a runway, and that's been my, you know, lifelong dream, and, you know, I don't want to move. And then, you know, he says, well, give it 6 months. And he also said that Mina knew about this before she moved here. So he says he's not moving anywhere. So, you know, he showed her the ugly house, the second ugly house, actually. I have to mention, the first one was Dan's unfinished castle,
Mario Castle. The
second one is, Mark's ugly, I don't know what that is, barn, or I don't know, I can't make anything of that.
Mark's ugly barn, like that.
Yeah, with all the money this guy makes, you would think that he would at least pay somebody to furnish it or decorate it or remodel it or do something with this place. It's so horrendous looking. But I guess people, you know, have priorities. That's not one of them. Mark says to me, you know, well, I have, we talked about the prenup and this and that, and we agreed that I am going to adopt Clayton. And Mina says, yes. And he says, okay. He goes to the office, prints the damn thing, and brings it down like a whole, you know, stack of papers. He said, go ahead, sign this, and I'm going to write here that I'm going to adopt Clayton. And Mina hasn't read any of it. It's like, what's going on here? Let her read some of the pages at least, you know, before signing anything. But we have had other couples that had showed them to whichever attorney they wanted to, and to get, you know, some kind of green light to go ahead. And this one is just like, okay, just.
What if it was the prenup? She wouldn't even know.
And then what? But she writes that Mark will adopt Clayton, and she's happy with that. And she smiles and signs. They both sign. And so that's done. And she even says, don't you want to show this to Jordan before us signing it? And, you know, he takes it as a, you know, being passive aggressive, and he kind of smiles and he has her sign the papers, and that was it. So we're done with the prenup conversation, folks. You know, we don't have to worry about that anymore. Next, we go to our favorite throuple, Matt Amani.
My lord.
Still at the same table after three episodes.
We're guess still what?
Sitting at the same, you know, cafe or restaurant, wherever they are. And Ray.
And it wasn't even worth the payoff. Oh my God.
And Ray's, poor Ray, is just trying to, you know, explain himself. Like, these people are, you know, trying to find out about, you know, Ani.
And she's giving him the third degree. Like, why would you tell them this? Why would you whatever? And he's like, honestly, yeah, there's no way that he wouldn't have known. As they were
talking, you know, Ani came to join them. And as soon as she was sitting down and, you know, she says, you know, oh, Brenda. And she gets, you know, taken aback. It's like, how do you know my name? And poor Ray's just like, these people want to know your name. You know, you're going to, they tell me you guys going to get married. So at some point, you're going to have to tell them. When also, is this point, you know?
I completely agree. But also, like, remember when he said her name? He wasn't like, hey, you guys, guess what? Like, he wasn't like rubbing his hands together. He was just like,
no.
Yeah, Ani, but you guys know her as Brenda. Like, he already thought that they knew that her name was that. Like, exactly. It did not come across as someone who was trying to, but just for the viewer's sake, it did not come across as this man trying to cause problems, because she's mad at him.
Right.
When it's like, you're the one who've been lying to them, yeah, and he yeah, didn't that, come yeah. in here to try to cause problems. Exactly. He thought they already knew that her name was not Ani. Like, he wasn't trying to stir the pot in any way.
Yeah, I felt bad for Ray. It's like, he was so scared. He didn't know what to say. It's like, you know, Ani said that I'm not married, you know, because, you know, prior to that, he told Amani and Matt that Ani's still married and legally married, although they're separated, but they're still not
right.
legally divorced. And not that they wanted to, you know, stay married. It's just like the paperwork could take, you know, a long time. It's not like, it's not something
yeah.
that, you know, you're hiding or anything like that. It's just like, it's going to take its process. And it might take time. Ray's like, okay, she's not married. And they think that, you know, Ray's changing his word on the spot, which...
He was.
He's trying to explain, like, no, I wasn't 100% sure that, you know, it's because of the process or because of whatnot. She says she's, you know, she's not married anymore, and that's what I'm telling you.
And, but I have to say... The way that he was backtracking right. was really concerning to me. Like, that was a big red flag of, like, why is this man so scared? Like, are there people around Ani that...
I think it's because of the bank account, you know? It's like, maybe it's a money laundering scheme.
I'm saying it seems...
They have going on there.
Like, some shady business because... are there people that she... Associates.
It was just like he was caught off guard.
That he's worried about.
He was just caught off guard by.
He seemed also scared. Like,
yeah.
He didn't. She was kind of like had a threatening tone.
Right.
And he was like, sorry, never mind. Like, that was weird.
He was watching them, you know, interact with one another. And Ani and, you know, Matt and Amani. And there were like, you know, angry words exchanged. So he was like, before this, we were just talking normally, and I was just explaining to them, this is what the situation is. You have nothing to hide. But also, Ani, because of her work, line of work, I'm sure she wants to protect herself, and she doesn't come out and say everything, you know, like she should, being honest with everybody, because she can't. You know, she has to protect herself. She has to protect her kid, you know, her kids. So she's not going to say right away, my name is so-and-so. And, you know, this is my home yeah. address and my phone number.
But it's not right away. Like,
right.
they've been dating for a while and they're considering marriage. Like, come on.
Right.
Anyway, the thing that was pissing me off about Ani, because she really irritated me this episode, she turned into like a baby. Like she was being so manipulative. Like, and then the fact that she had a bow in her hair, I was like, oh God, this is really, it's making it worse. But she just completely like, just like Amani, like so manipulative.
Right.
So, loose and like, I don't know what the word for that, it spoiled, I guess, in English. Yeah. But just like, ew, you're an adult. Why are you acting like this? Where she was backed into a corner.
Yeah.
Acting like a baby, like starting to cry.
But at the same time, I think that she's not sure how far they're going to go with this thing, because the way Amani acts, like she has anger issues, she has control issues, and constantly telling Kira, you got to tell your family, you got to tell your family about us being together, and you got to tell them. And so I think Ani at some point wasn't quite sure how far they're going to go, you know, with this, you know, crazy arrangement that they're going to get a divorce and, you know, her and Amani going to get married. And then what? And then, you know, what's going to happen? Nobody knows. It's just like, it's like a crazy way of doing things to begin with anyway. Like, again, if you want to just have some fun, just go and visit her. You know, she's like 20 minutes away from your house. You don't have to, you know, fly or anything like that to another country. It is another country, but it's right there, you know?
Yeah. So I don't think it makes sense to try to make this thing a permanent.
You don't have to leave your kids behind. You don't have to get a divorce. But if you want to have Ani all to yourself, then yeah, I guess you're going to have to marry her. Because that's the line of work she's in. She's not like working in an office, you know? And that's her profession.
Yeah.
I mean, she works at a strip club. You cannot have her all to yourself.
Yeah.
Unless you divorce your husband of, I don't know, 10 years, how many years they've been together, married. And then you have to bring her completely into your life, you know, introduce her to your family and your kids. And I don't know, it's just the strangest things that I've ever seen. And so this is what's going to happen, you know. People want to protect themselves and they're going to act strangely, and, you know, you're not going to get anywhere. And I think their relationship is falling apart right in front of our eyes, the way we thought it's gonna go from the first, you know, episode, and it's happening right now, you know.
Yeah.
And the way they're dragging the scene for three episodes tells us that it's at some point it's gonna end, and it's not gonna continue.
Speaking of which, Sean and Aaliyah, same story there in terms of. We say it every damn week.
Right.
Same story, just they're stretching for content. Like, the thing that... Are you ready to move on to Sean and Aaliyah, or did you want to...
Sure.
Sorry.
You didn't say next.
Next. Well, because it's the same thing. That these two couples is... Guys, this is not like... It doesn't make interesting TV. What?
One thing Matt said, it was funny. when they were talking and Ani says, you know, I'm not married to Ray, and Ray says, oh, okay, she's not married. And he says, hold on. I wrote it down here.
What did Matt say?
Oh, she snapped her finger and change a man's memory. That's trained. Like, what the hell? Who talks like that?
It's like, that's trained.
Yeah. I mean,
whatever, Matt. Go back to sleep.
The only thing that I could at least be happy about, that this episode, Sean was upfront with Aaliyah. And just told her, because
a little bit.
Yeah, he goes to see her friend, to his friend, who used to be his partner, you know, business partner many years back. So her name, what was her name? I can't know, Stacy. They're very close and they talk about everything. And Stacy tells them, look, at some point you're going to have to be straightforward with her and tell her what you're feeling. Because if she's going to have bottom surgery and you're not good with that, you got to let her know now. And at some point, Sean says, well, I can, you know, pull the visa, the K-1 visa, which if you're thinking that way, then this thing is not going so great, is it? You know, if your thoughts is going like, that's, you know, one of my options, because this is not, you know, happening the way I'd like it to happen. And right. So next scene, it's them rollerblading on Venice Beach, and Sean is trying to teach her how to rollerblade. It seemed like their friendship is like they're friends, not like, you know, husband and wife, the way
you know what I thought
around each other.
That scene was so different for me. Right. It was like, yeah, friends, whatever. But all I kept thinking was, they have absolutely nothing in common. Like, that is made clear every episode whenever he's making these quotes and references to movies from 30, 40 years ago, from before she was born. But then, like, again, it was almost like they pulled up to the beach and he was giving her, like, the skates and everything. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, oh, did Aaliyah, like, rollerblade in Brazil and now they're going to do it here? That's so fun. And then I find out she doesn't do that. She prefers to just chill on the beach and just tan and whatever. And I was like, oh, that's cute that they're working, doing something together. But it's like, they have nothing in common.
Nothing at all.
Like, come on, guys. Like, you need to have something that is the same to bond with, an interest that you like. Something. Come on.
I think everybody
it's just wild
from the first episode that these two are not, you know. Even though they might get married and we'd be surprised, they literally have nothing in common. The only thing they had physically in common, that's disappearing as well. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know, what? He asks her, what do you think about this and that? And you said that you want to have surgery, and they talk about facial feminization, and she says that, well, she's not sure right now, but she can't guarantee that she wouldn't want it later on. Same thing about the gender reassignment surgery. She says, well, I'm not sure right now, but maybe in the future, possibly. And then the hormone therapy topic comes up. And she says, well, I could do that right away. So she pretty much knows what she's going to do. And she's not, I mean, she FaceTimed her mom. And her mom told her, you have to be supportive. You have to communicate with Sean about what you want. If that's what you want, then you're gonna have to tell him now. Don't wait till later, because, you know, is going to cause a lot of friction between the two of you when you're married already. So you got to be upfront with him. And Stacy, Sean's friend, told him the same thing. So that's what he was trying to do. And I'm glad he said it. And he literally told Aaliyah that it's not, you know, he's not going to be cool with any of that surgery at all.
I'm glad that this is like the most clear they've been with one another. Right. And that's enough of an answer, in my opinion, for Sean. Right. Because Aaliyah said, I don't know yet, but possibly in the future, which means possibly.
Yeah.
Which is not no, which is what Sean would prefer. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and next week they show that he has the prenup. Another prenup comes up. They should have like this prenup for all of these couples on first episodes. It's like, here, your prenup. Everybody sign the prenup so we can get this topic out of the way.
Get it out of the way. Yeah, exactly.
You know, but everybody deals with it differently, you know.
Anything else?
No, that's about it. You know, I just, there was a lot to, you know, think about this episode because they showed pretty much everybody. Yeah, so episode 14, we got, another 7 left? 7 weeks?
Yeah.
Maybe? And then the tell-all should be, do not drag that on. But as long as they don't do that, you know, we're going to rent a house and you'll, you know, be together.
I liked that.
And, you know.
No, I liked that a lot.
Just get to the point, let them, you know, do whatever they have to do in the studio. We have 7 couples, so if you talk to them, well, thank you everyone for listening and hope you'll join us again next week on another episode of 90 Day React, Bubbas and Banter. Thanks everyone. See you soon.
Thanks. Hey.
Thanks everyone for tuning in. Just a quick note, the opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not reflect those of our employers. Our content is for entertainment purposes only and are not meant to cause harm or encourage harassment. Please do not send hate or harass anyone that we discuss. That is not cute. That is not cool. Thank you for listening, and until next time.